God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Microphone's on. Praise God. The message this morning is Seek God's Face. I want to talk for a bit about this. Some of the things you've probably heard before, some you might not have. But I just want to talk for a little while. You know me, I talk for a little while whether I want to or not. It's just kind of the way that goes. I want to start in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory so that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from the evil that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's a little book going around. I have seen it. Looked for it downstairs a little while ago, and we don't have it, called The Prayer of Jabez, talking about this little passage right here. Kind of amazing what people will write books about. Just want you to keep in mind that there is that book out there as we go on. In 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 through 12, it says, On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, Ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, You have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, Because it was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Has anybody but me ever read that passage and had the thought come into your mind, whether you actually said it or not, Lord, I pray for wisdom to lead these people with the hope, riches and long life, honor. Just that idea that if I ask God for this, He's going to give me this. Or has anybody ever read the book, the Prayer of Jabez, which goes in and just goes through that prayer? Or has anybody ever seen the other book that says Prayers God Answers? Or, and I just went down and pulled some books off the shelf. I have not read these books. We have an extensive library downstairs, for those of you that are listening online, that have come from a lot of people donating books to the church. And I am not endorsing any of these books. I'm merely saying I went down 5 minutes before church and pulled a couple of books off the shelf. And now that I have them in my hand, I'm responsible to read them and find out whether or not there's something that stays on the shelf. So I'll let you know about that right off. What you say is what you get. That really sounds like a prosperity gospel message. So unless they can convince me otherwise, that's getting out of here real quick. Where's the other one? Miles Monroe, Preparing for the Kingdom Experience and Expansion. I know Miles Monroe was a prosperity gospel preacher. Know a lot about that. You know what the prosperity gospel is? Everybody, I'm getting blank looks. Prosperity gospel says, well, you know, if you give money to the Lord, God has to repay you. This is how you get God to do what you want Him to do. But other books down here. The Prayer of Jesus. A Time to Pray God's Way. Praying with Paul. Praying the Names of God. Whole prayer. These are all books on prayer that are down on the shelves. And like I said, I haven't read them. I don't know if they're good or not. But I will find out. And I will let you know what I found out. I won't just do that. When I was a kid, I'm the oldest of three boys. And my brothers knew what buttons to push to get me upset. And also knew just how to go about doing it just with the right timing, that if my parents caught me getting upset because they stirred me up, I was in more trouble. That ever happened to anybody else's family? I think most people with siblings have somewhat of a similar experience. Might not be identical, but something like that. Or ever had to deal with somebody who is a very good manipulator and could really make you do or get the reaction they desired out of you. When we go through these scriptures, and when we're not necessarily so much going through the scriptures, but we take it in the point where if we do it this way, then God has to. We're going to make God do something. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay." He will pay back what he has given, is what the Proverbs says. Proverbs, remember, written by Solomon, the guy that God gave wisdom. He who has pity on the poor. King James says, he who lends to the poor, or he who gives to the poor, lends to God, and God will repay. Is how it's worded there. So with the heart that goes in, it's like, what's the formula to get God to do what I want him to do? Forgetting on the fact that we're on to heaven, God's in the earth, or we're on earth, God's in heaven, therefore let your words be few, as it says in Ecclesiastes. How about the verse that says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Or the verse that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. How can I get what I want to get? That's the prosperity gospel. And that's what's been pushed out by a lot of people. But I'm here to say, not just the prosperity gospel. Anybody, me included, that doesn't give you the whole counsel of God is giving a false gospel. The whole counsel of God is the Word of God. Little bits and pieces of it that doesn't line up with the message brings confusion, brings turmoil. But what I want to talk about is seeking God's face, not seeking a formula or a way to get God to do what we want him to do. And there's a passage of scripture that's always messed with my mind on this. It's in Numbers 23, beginning with verse 1. Now, to set it up, go to Numbers, we'll talk about Numbers 22. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They're on the way to the promised land. They're taking the scenic route. And they're coming up, and the Moabites, remember the Moabites are their cousins. They're from Lot's oldest daughter after Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his two daughters escaped. The Moabites are the children of Lot's oldest daughter. They are cousins to the people of Israel. But they say, there's this great nation coming up. A nation, by the way, that God would not let Israel interfere or harass or hurt in any way. The Moabites or the Ammonites. Their cousins, their kinsmen. Or the Edomites. Well, no, Edomites, we hadn't got there yet. Never mind. Yeah, Edomites, we got there. So, or the Edomites, they couldn't mess with them either. More cousins. Because Edomites, coming from Esau and Jacob, Esau's kids, were the Edomites. They couldn't mess with any of them as they come through the land. But the Moabites see this great group of people coming, and they call this prophet, his name is Balaam, they call him to come curse the children of Israel. God wouldn't let him do it. Now in chapter 22, Balaam goes before God three times God says, don't go. And the last time God says, well, if they come again, you can go with them. But then we have the donkey talking to him and the angel there with the flaming sword and that whole story. But he goes to talk to Balaam. Talk to Balak, the king of Moab. And again, he says, I can only say what God says. And Balak says, well, ask God again. So Balaam says, the prophet, this heathen prophet, then Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here. Prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offering and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows to me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height, and God met Balaam and said to him, Balaam said to God, I have prepared 7 altars and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. This prophet, who was not a descendant of Abraham, actually we don't know anything about him except he was a prophet, had a formula and met with God. And his formula worked. He met with God. I don't know about you, that blows my theology away. Why does God meet with this pagan prophet who he's already sent an angel to kill, but the donkey rescued him, and God had mercy again? But Balaam is cursed in the book of Revelation. Balaam is cursed all through history. He had a formula for getting to come in face to face with God, but he didn't have a heart to serve or obey God. Why in the world would God meet with him? I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand the things that God does. I can't tell God what to do because I don't have all the answers. But here's a person who had a formula that worked and still managed to get cursed in Revelation. Because it's not in what you did, it's in the attitude of the heart. It's whether or not he was obedient to God. He was trying to get something from God. He wasn't trying to get to know God. He had a partial formula. He had a way that got him where he wanted to go, just didn't get him where he needed to go. James 4, beginning with verse 1, says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war with your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your own pleasures. Asking for God for things for our own purposes rather than seeking the face of God, rather than wanting what God wants. In Psalm 27, beginning with verse 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. We are called to seek the face of God, not just his hand. We are called to seek the face of God. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me praise, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits is the second verse. The first verse, bless him with all that is within me, bless his holy name. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In our modern English, in our modern way of looking at things, that's in a chronological order. Okay, seek this first, and then you can seek this, and this, and this. No. Seek first is seeking in a priority order. Seek this. All this other stuff is secondary. All this other stuff is tertiary. All this other stuff is way down the line. Seek this, Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And let God take care of everything else. God knows what we have need of. Now, going back to when we pray and we talk about that verse that says, of course, as my mind is going to, never mind, as I'm not going to remember that. Don't be anxious for anything, but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. So we're supposed to bring Him our requests, but that shouldn't be the number one priority. The number one priority has to be, Lord, I want to know You better. Lord, I want to draw close to You. Lord, I seek Your face. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is peace forevermore. In His presence, we have everything that we need. As we seek the presence of God, we seek the fellowship and the relationship with God, as we draw close to God, God knows the things we need. God knows the things that are on our heart. When we talked about the verse that says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. If we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, then the Lord is what we're focused on. And the desires of our heart become to be more like Jesus. The desires of our heart come to be more in line with His grace. There's the danger in our lives of being complacent, the dangers of our lives of trying to come up. You know, we're human beings. We're frail. We like things done in order. If I do this, I get this result. Remember, we're taught in science, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If I pray this, God is going to answer this way. Prosperity gospel, if you plant a seed, God's going to pay you back in that seed. If you plant corn, He's going to give you corn. If you plant dollar bills, He's going to give you dollar bills. I've heard it preached. I've also heard somebody say, I carry the same Bible the apostles did, the King James Version. King James was translated in 1611. People get a little messed up. But we can go through and we can go through Scripture and we can get off in a little cubby and reading about the prayer of Jabez. Not that we're going to flip back on it up there. But verse 9. Now Jabez, the name Jabez is listed three times in Scripture. And the first time is in 1 Chronicles 2, and it's talking about a city. And then we get to 1 Chronicles 4. You got verses 9 and 10 are the only places Jabez as a person is listed. And it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Well, we don't know who his brothers were. We don't know anything about them except that Jabez was more honorable. We know he got called Jabez because his mother said, I bore him in pain. Jabez, the name means he will cause pain. Jabez's prayer says, after he says, Lord, that You would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that Your hand may be with me, and that You would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. We look at that verse 9 where it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Wonder what does that mean? But we go to the New Testament, and the Bereans are known as being more honorable than those in Thessalonica, because when they heard the word, they received it and then went to the Scriptures to find out whether or not it was true. So that's how that's used up in the New Testament. But here, more honorable than his brothers. Jabez, all this listed is that he sought the face of God and listened to his prayer. Again, this is not pray this way and God will do this for you. Listen to his prayer. He's already known as more honorable. It's written in Scripture that he's more honorable than his brothers. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say Jabez was somebody that sought the face of the Lord before this prayer. He called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that You would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that Your hand would be with me and that You would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Think about that verse. Think about that prayer. God, I am known as someone who will cause pain. It is my very name that I will cause pain. But Lord, please change me that I don't do that. That is a person who's humbling himself. That is a person who's drawing near to the Lord, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, delighting himself in the Lord, doing the things that, as Scripture as also says in the Proverbs, when a man's ways please the Lord, he's doing those things that please the Lord. He's drawing close to the Lord. In Deuteronomy 10, beginning with verse 12, it says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, and also the earth and all that is in it." I want to say Micah 6:8, where it says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" And it might be Hosea 6:8. I'll throw that out there right now because both books are running through my head, but I know it's 6:8. Mike, okay, good. Yeah, it's hanging over your cupboard. I know where it's at. I even had it in my notes, but I had too many pages of notes, so I had to kind of shorten some things up. Not that I'm not talking about the Scripture, I'm just not having it all printed out. But starting with verse 6 in there, "With what shall I bring to the Lord, and wherewith will the Most High be pleased? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Micah saying, can I do this? Will this bring God's favor? The sacrifices. Can I bring the sacrifices? Let's go back to Solomon here, that passage we read. Now, this isn't where he dedicated the temple. This isn't where he said, "Lord, if your people turn away from you, when they repent and turn back, will you hear them?" That's in 2 Chronicles 7. But in 2 Chronicles 1, Solomon has been crowned the king. Solomon hasn't asked God for anything. They built altars and they sacrificed 1,000 bulls. But they just made sacrifice and worshiped God. That's all they did. There's no prayer mentioned. There's no petition mentioned. This is just, I want to praise God. And God says, what shall I give you? God came to him. He didn't go to God. As we seek the face of God, as we draw near just to worship God, it's up to God. God knows what we need. Have you ever, this has happened to me many times. First time it happened to me, I was in Kiev, Ukraine, with a missions group. But just being in a conversation and mention something simple in a conversation. We're eating dinner at the hotel. And my oldest daughter says, I wonder if they have ice. The next meal, there's a pan of ice there with our meal. They had sodas, and I don't remember what they were, but they had a type of soda. And somebody else at that meal said, I wonder if this is the only kind of soda they have or if they have other things. Next meal, there was an assortment of sodas. Somebody says, well, the KGB is paying attention to you. No, I don't think so. And then getting ready for breakfast one morning, and again, my oldest daughter said, I wonder if this is what they're always going to have for breakfast or if they have something else. So the next breakfast, there's a completely different assortment. And there was a guy with us. There was 10 of us on this missions trip. We were in Kiev, Ukraine. And he's the first one who saw it, and he pointed it out. He says, every time we even talk about something, God is answering. God is letting us know he's paying attention. He says, tomorrow, I want biscuits and gravy. He's from Georgia. Very next morning, we had blintzes and cheese sauce. I'm like, that's as close as they get to you, biscuits and gravy in Ukraine. It was God hearing our conversations and letting us know he's paying attention. That hasn't, by far, that's not the only time that's ever happened in my life. God just letting us know, as we draw close to the Lord, as we seek his face, let God show up. Don't do it because, hey, if I do this, then God will take care of this, 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 and this. Because sometimes we're like, Lord, we need you to intervene in this. Sometimes it's that way. Whatever the case happens to be. Whether it's health, whether it's finances. I know when all of a sudden they cut out my overtime at work years ago and I watched my paycheck drop by a third. Guarantee you there was some praying going on. God is faithful. But we always need to be seeking God's face. The blessings of his hand come from his heart. And as we draw close to him, we don't go before God saying, okay, Lord, I did this, 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 and this, so you have to. No. Tells us in Ecclesiastes, keep your feet when you enter into the house of the Lord and be more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That reminder to be humble as we go before the Lord, to seek his face, to recognize that there is nothing in me except the Holy Spirit that allows me into the presence of a holy God. Certainly not my righteousness, certainly not my intellect, certainly not anything that I can do. What can I bring to the Lord? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the creator of the heavens and earth and all that's in them. Yet he draws us into relationship with him. Why would we jeopardize that? Why would we endanger that? Why would we insult that by trying to manipulate God? Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. Help us, Father, to be ever mindful to seek your face and not your hand, to seek the relationship. For Lord, you are holy and you are righteous and you are worthy and you have already given us much, much more than we ever deserve. You have already given us everything we need. Scripture says he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Praise God, he's already given it. So let's just seek his face and praise him. Father, we thank you. We give glory, Lord. We recognize that you are God over all, that you're the creator of the heavens and the earth, that the words cannot describe you. And your word tells us that you condescend to men of low estate. You pay attention to the things going on in our lives. You draw us into relationship. You sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin that separated us from you. You impart to us the righteousness that we can boldly come before the throne of grace, that we can draw close to you in fellowship and in relationship because of your great love toward us. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.